Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
This week is the 24-hour game marathon.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. We got Will Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Ryan Pills,
Jonah Dew,
and Apprentice Dan
in the house.
As you heard Kevin talking about just a moment ago, we've got a bunch of stuff coming up. We're so excited.
Ryan,
we can't.
Live?
We
yeah,
can't
live.
Sweet. We can't even make it into the podcast without talking about our 24-hour game of thought.
Bam.
Coming up in when they watch this, will it be that Friday?
It'll be that Friday.
It'll be that Friday. Can't wait. We've been putting a lot of planning into this. We're trying to schedule the games out so that we know who's got to be in the house at what times to play what games, so that at 2 a.m. when we're all about to pass out, all the games will be lined up just right. We don't even have to think about things. It's going to be amazing.
I want to see them watch a podcast. So
watch the podcast.
You did say that. You said when you watch this, but I think they have to listen, but
yeah,
when you watch
how my
this
podcast work.
Word. My words are so animated. People can see them.
They can see feel them like and feel them, experience them.
It's like when I played the Haunted Man, Scooby-Doo Haunted Mansion, like I could hear Shaggy's voice in my head, even though I was just reading the words. I can see my face moving. 24-hour Gameathon is going to be amazing. I hope that you will tune in for many numerous portions of that. We're going to be doing giveaways, so that should be motivation enough. And we're going to be playing games. That really should be motivation enough. What are some of the games that you guys are looking forward to playing during the 24-hour? Do we know what's on the schedule?
I'm looking forward to keeping a running scoreboard of all games that we're playing.
That Jonah wins throughout the night?
And then my name just creeping up. Hopefully I actually start at the top and never
just stay up there.
But I'll take starting at the bottom and creeping up the whole time as well.
Love it. We need to keep the leaderboard going. I guess we got to figure out averages, right? Because like if I get stuck doing the switcher all night, but I win one game, like am I the ultimate champion? Because my record is.
Are you talking about
one
and
zero?
Have, like, minimum table appearances to count.
Okay. Seems fair. I know I'm looking forward to Captain Sonar. That's always one of my faves. Can't wait to get that one out and to have some fun crushing the other submarine team. I feel really confident my team will win.
I mean, we're already forecasting what that's going to be like since we have an all-guy podcast.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. We didn't even point that out. So the ladies are doing a fantastic job. We totally abandoned them. They are in the other room right now slaving away for our Kickstarter backers, doing lots of shipping. Sarah printed a bunch of t-shirts last week. They are packaging and stamping. So if you are one of our Kickstarter backers and we have received all of your rewards, they are going out to you right now. So many are going out that they don't even have time to podcast. I feel kind of bad.
That's okay.
Is it? Kevin, what kind of games did you get to play this week? Anything exciting make it to your table?
Oh, man. I played some more Merchants of Dunhuang. I played some Runestones. I think we talked about both of those this past week.
Yep.
I played a prototype of Dinosaur World, which we'll talk about in a future episode, which is a sort of sequel to Dinosaur Island from Panosaurus Games. So that'll be fun to talk about in the future. And I did get to play a game called Mystery House, an expansion to it. This is the game where you are sort of, it's three-dimensional. It looks like a box, a board game box, but all the sides have holes in them.
Windows.
Yeah, windows. And you are looking in those windows and trying to figure out the puzzle. In this case, it was a Western-themed puzzle. We had to get inside the town. And the town of Tombstone. And in Tombstone, there was a problem. We were trying to fix it. I'm not going to do any spoilers or anything like that. But we had puzzles we had to figure out. There were things that we had to like sort of like piece together to figure out how to figure out the inside, to get inside.
Puzzle figuring out.
Figuring out the puzzles. So I don't want to start like, how do I not spoil this? But there things that you sort of put together that weren't really puzzles, but they're sort of like, oh, this goes with this, which lets me then go to the next level.
So give me a little more information on that game, because I've seen people play it. I've never played it. Is it a one-time game?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you play one time. Yep.
Okay. So new expansion is a whole new experience.
Whole new experience.
Is it like an hour-long experience? What do you get?
Oh, yeah. It's like an escape room type game where you, and this one probably had three or four puzzles, probably about two and a half wait out of five for like difficulty. And there's an app that goes with it. And like when you're like, oh, I see something at coordinate M26, what do you see? It lists like 20 things. Uh-huh. And you have to be like, I think I see a bucket, or I see a well, or a, and it gives like lots of different options. And you pick one of the options. And if you're picked the right option, then it'll tell you, take object this, and that gives you more information.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that's how you play it. That's pretty slick.
And then if you're like, oh, I'm talking to a person, and you give them one of the objects that you already have, and you have choices to make, then it could make the story go further.
Some Chronicles of Crime action going on there.
Sure, a little bit of that. So
pretty slick. So one of the things that we were doing tonight is in preparation for a 24-hour game-a-thon, we opened it up, let a lot of people vote on what we should be playing. A lot of those games we haven't actually played yet. Mm-hmm. I know you guys were reading some rule books tonight. What did you get to the table, Dan? What were you looking at?
I was looking at Tammany Hall, and it's a deduction game, and that's about as much as I know. So I can't really give you a whole lot more there. It looks interesting. I'm looking forward to learning more of it. But
my understanding is there's some like backstabbing and negotiations, maybe.
Dealing with kids and lots of different stuff going on. Didn't really get into the meat of it, but looks interesting. I'm excited to try it out, and what is that scheduled for, like midnight when we're
probably
all bright and fresh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can be.
Should be fun.
Ryan, awesome. you were learning one too, Ryan? What were you?
Yeah, I don't know that we're doing it during the 24-hour
game. Oh, okay.
But
you can still talk about it.
Yeah. It's Court of Miracles. Looks pretty slick. It's about trying to take over the different bands of thugs. I can't think of the word they actually use. Rogues, I guess.
Thieves.
I think it's like the 1500s Paris. So, looks like it'll be interesting.
It looked pretty.
It was very well put together. I don't know what's going on in it, though. So, I'll have to get into it, a deep dive later. But we also got to play some games this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Rise of Augustus. Classic. Ah. Played it with my neighbors. They struggled a little bit to understand it.
It's a little bit bingo-y, right? Maybe?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's for 8 and up.
Bingo-y.
And one of them was 7 years old. I thought he could take it. He couldn't. So he was more interested in the video games. And then played some Super Fantasy Brawl. And Dan actually introduced me to Card Bard, which we're doing a preview for. That was interesting.
Cool. Coming to Kickstarter?
Yes, coming to Kickstarter. It's a deck building, battling type of game, but instead of fighting each other with like creatures and stuff like that, you are a bard trying to write the most epic like tavern tune. And so you're playing a song card and then putting composition onto it. Then they all has special effects like you would see in, I don't know, a Keyforge or Magic the Gathering or a living card game, something like that, where you can kind of come with your own customized deck and write awesome songs.
Mm-hmm. Cool stuff. We did get one game onto the table tonight. Jonah, what did you think of Dead Last?
So I like it. And if
this is your first time playing?
It was my first time playing, yep. So if you haven't played Dead Last, basically everybody at the table is a color, and you're trying to determine who you're voting off, like who's voting getting out of that round of the game, and you've got to vote with the majority. So it is fun because you've got to kind of determine who you're voting for, but also get other people to vote with you, but not everybody to vote with you, because if you vote for the one person, they do have like a trump card that can turn it around on you.
Ambush, and they can protect themselves.
And so first time getting to the table, but it was fun. I did not win, unfortunately.
I think of this.
There was no scoreboard, so.
I think of.
didn't get recorded.
I think of Dead Last as like a quick game of Survivor. The TV show?
Sure, yeah. You gotta vote everybody off.
Like, you have to be, like, know what's going on and know sort of, like, social interactions with other people and play the right card at the right time, so.
Not my thing.
For Ryan.
Although I think Ryan and I both lost by not winning a single round.
Yeah, I did get a card, though.
Oh,
did
way
you
to
end
go.
Up with the card?
That's because Will tried to steal from Jonah.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
That's right. So, yeah. Because at the end,
I think
if
Jonah tried to steal from Will.
From wheel.
Nope, that wasn't it.
Because at the end, if it's just you and another person, you go into like a prisoner's dilemma.
Where you, final showdown.
Sudden death.
So when Jonah and I had that, we worked together well, and we both shared, because we're sharing people.
And they got to split the loot.
Yes. But when it was Will and Jonah...
all bets are off.
Right. He tried to steal from me, so I tried to steal from him, and then we didn't get anything.
Great plan.
That's awesome.
I can tell by the look of Jonah's eye, I can trust him. And then...
Nope.
Then we both stole.
Thanks, Jonah.
Yep, excellent. Well, I'm sure we've had a couple other ones to the table this week. We've talked about a lot of different stuff, and we have more to talk about. Why don't we take a moment to check what's going on in the news?
This week, coming to Board Game News, Kevin is going to talk about three items.
Well, first, we have last week announced, we talked about Eric Lang leaving CMON. Well, on the heels of that announcement, I think CMON was sort of saying, oh no, what are people going to think? So they announced a sequel to Blood Rage.
Oh, perfect timing.
So I think people are super excited about this. Have you heard about this, Ryan?
No.
Oh.
What did Timothy Gay have to say about it?
I don't know.
That's the question. That's I haven't heard from him in a long time, actually.
I haven't either. Interesting.
He's to get back on the horn.
Interesting. Another new game that we heard, actually an expansion to a game, is the Paladins of the West Kingdom has announced the expansion called City of Crowns. I shouldn't say they've announced. Garpil announced for the Paladins of the West Kingdom an expansion called City of Crowns. This is the second in line. We just actually played Viscounts.
Yeah,
which
good
was
stuff.
A fun game.
We'll be busting that out also during the 24-hour game.
Third in the line. So if you're interested in any of the West Kingdom series, check out the City of Crowns expansion coming to that very soon. The last game that is on the news list is a game called Loop. This is from a company called Catch Up. Not mustard or ketchup.
Catch Up.
And this is a 1-4 player co-op game that has you running through different eras of time to stop a villain who is actually many villains in one. So sounds kind of interesting. The artwork is kind of, I like the little clean lines it's going.
Cartoon Network-y, but with a cool color scheme.
So check out The Loop. Don't forget about the other two as well with the Blood Rage sequel that I'm sure will be super hot. I'm assuming it'll be that'll be a Kickstarter sometime next
Might
year.
Might as well.
So we'll give you more information as we hear about it. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's jump into our word from our episode sponsors. This episode, we have actually two sponsors to talk about today. The first one is Cascadia, which is from Flat Out Games, and we'll be hearing more from them. Actually, we're going to have an interview with them later in the show, so we'll definitely look forward to that. And the other one of our episode sponsors is Embarcadero from Renegade Game Studios, and we talked a little bit about them last week, but this week we'll also talk more in depth about Embarcadero, which is a sort of majority influence game. It's got some resource management, some building that's going on in the game where you're building wharves in San Francisco, and it's kind of cool, so we'll talk a little bit more during the Kickstarter Conniption segment.
I miss the ladies.
Kickstarter Conniption.
This week we are looking at five games coming to Kickstarter the week of September 14th. Will, what do you have for us?
I mean, first I just want to say that Sarah does it way better.
Oh, she does. She does.
Sorry, Dan.
But good try. Maybe next time. I'm looking at the game Forgotten Depths from Void Knight Games. This is a 1-3 player adventure game. It's a tile placement game where you will be building out a dungeon that you and your team will cooperatively be exploring. In the game, you have individual characters that have some slightly different powers. They definitely have different starting health points, and they will be getting different items and things throughout the course of the game. when you draw a tile from the stack and play it into your dungeon, you have to be able to connect all the openings and doorways and things. And then you have a little lantern that represents your team. And you will, as a team, discuss, you know, which ways do we want to travel? Where do we want to go? Some of the rooms in the dungeon will require keys that you'll need to find and unlock or that you'll need to collect. Other ones will feature monster fangs. And whenever a set of fangs comes out into a room, you will reveal monsters from the monster deck. And the game has a kind of unique battling system in the game where each monster is slightly different in the way it's going to reveal cards. Some of them might bring out like a two-headed hound and you might have to fight two bad guys or something like that. The bad guy will reveal two cards off of his random stack of attack cards, and then you'll play two cards from your hand. You will then attack them. If you play the highest card, you'll attack them. You get to choose from the two stacks. So if I played a 5 and a 6 and he played a 2 and a 3, I can decide, all right, my 6 is going to attack the card right above it, the 3, so I'm going to give him 6 damage, but he's going to deal 3 back to me. And so figuring out which cards you want to attack them with, sometimes the difference is huge and it might kill the bad guy. Sometimes it may end up meaning that you're going to take a lot more damage. So figuring out the balance on that is one of the main parts of the game.
Would you say this is, like, is this a more serious take on it, or is this got a lighter feel? What kind of...
It's got a pretty, like, solid illustration style to it. Kind of looks like something I would see in, like, an old Hobbit book or something, maybe.
I kind of like that style. It's kind of cool.
I do. It's a little, not like monochromatic, pencil? But yeah. Yeah, really nice detail in the illustrations for sure. The monsters, so we're obviously, I got to see some prototype art for it, and the monsters are pretty scary looking like monsters, but they're well illustrated. They're not like, they're definitely not gruesome. That would be a good way to describe it.
Like Simon?
Could easily be family friendly, but you're fighting monsters. And basically you're trying to make it through your deck of tiles to find the exit to the next level. And if you at any time can't lay a tile because you... have like created a maze that doesn't allow for you to place the room or whatever, you lose. But if you're able to defeat the bad guys, make it to the end, fight the final bad guys at the gate, then your characters can level up and you can head to the next ecology and move on to the next round. This one's coming to Kickstarter next week. Like I said, the illustration style is actually really sharp for this. We had a chance to do a preview video for it, so you can check that out on our channel if you want to see what it looks like in action. And definitely check that one out from Void Knight Games, Forgotten Depths. Kevin, what are you looking at?
Renegade Game Studios is launching Embarcadero, which I mentioned during the sponsorship time. And this is a game for 2 to 4 players. Takes about 60 to 90 minutes to play. And this game is, like I said, set in the world or the time of 1850 San Francisco time during like the time of the gold rush, where ships are actually coming into the bay, San Francisco Bay, and they are actually just being abandoned there in the bay. And some of these business moguls have taken claims of these ships that are abandoned and towing them into the harbor and actually building in the wharf with these structures. And this is actually real history that really went on. And you can actually go to San Francisco and see some of this that's still there, which is kind of cool. The game that's built around this is you're actually building these ships are building these structures onto these ships, and you can build like 2, 3, 4 levels high with these 3-dimensional buildings, which is really fun and a little bit of dexterity in the game, even though it's not really dexterity.
Like, does it matter? Oh, okay.
But it's kind of fun as you're building these, and it really matters where you're building because you're going to get more points where you place them on the wharf, where you place them next to adjacent, next to other opponents, and things like that. Some of the other cool mechanics in the game, the gameplay itself, are the cards are really important because you can play ship cards to bring more ships into the harbor. You can play building cards to build those structures and buildings, and they have different actions that you can take. At the end of your turn, you're actually going to be purchasing another card, but then out of your hand of cards, you're going to basically reserve one. At the end of every turn, reserve a card onto your player board. You cannot use that card until the next round. So at the end of the round, you're going to have 5 cards that you've reserved throughout that previous round that you'll take up, that you'll know, I have these next 5 cards for the future round, which is kind of very interesting as you're reserving cards, playing them, and be like, okay, I need to do this next round. I'll reserve it. And then a better card comes up next round. Like, oh, I'll just reserve the other one for another future round. So it has that kind of like push and pull feel as you're pulling cards, buying cards, and placing cards. We will be doing not only a preview video of Embarcadero, but we'll be doing a live playthrough September 17th, the day before Will's the 24-hour game. Your birthday is September 18th?
It's actually September 17th. You got to the before, as I said, and I was
oh. We're playing a live playthrough of Embarcadero from Renegade Game Studios on September 17th, Will's birthday.
Boom.
The day before our 24-hour game marathon. Whew. So it's going to be gaming, gaming, gaming.
I just realized I'm going to be extra old during our marathon. I may not make it 24 hours.
Oh, awesome. Ryan, what do you have?
Coming from Burnt Island Games is In Too Deep. In this game, you take on the role of the police, I guess.
Undercover detectives or something.
And you're able to like hack in to the cybernetics, I guess, of these criminals and control them. You're trying to foil the syndicate's plan. But so on your turn, that's actually one of the things you do is you hook into one of the criminals and you get these criminals to perform actions for you. There are different items on the board that you may be required to by a mission card, I guess, move them around and get them different places. And if you fulfill certain objectives, you get points for those. But in the process, you may be acquiring corruption, and you'll also be gathering evidence tokens. And at the end of the game, whoever has the most corruption, they have gone into
too deep.
And they gain a penalty, but only, I believe, if enough evidence tokens were gathered so that the final plot was foiled. So if the final plot is foiled, the most corrupt investigator gains a penalty, and that is going to be hard to come back from to win the game. Otherwise, you know, maybe going in too deep is a good thing. And
it was when I played it.
So I played this one because I think coming to Kickstarter now, it's a relaunch, if I'm not mistaken.
It is a relaunch, yep.
A relaunch, okay. So we were able to play this one together, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when you complete those objectives and you have, like, the choice, it's almost the choice, right?
Right, you
where,
do.
Like, you can get, like, a lesser bonus or you can get a way bigger bonus,
right.
But you're going in deep.
Yeah, every time you have a choice, you can either kind of, like, take the high road as, like, what the good cops would do. Yep. You might get more evidence, but you get fewer points. Or you can take, like, the dirty low road, get a bunch of points, get a bunch of corruption.
Yeah. So I think when I played it, the first few times I was getting the bonus, I was like, I got to go deep.
Go big.
Yeah, I got to go. Like, these bonuses are way better. But then as the game continued, it's like, oh, maybe I should calm down on all this corruption here. So I had a good time playing that.
Yeah, artwork is really sharp for this one. Me and Sarah did a preview video for it. I think we did a playthrough video for it.
Yep.
So check those out on our channel for sure.
Yeah, so that is coming September 15th from Burnt Island Games, In Too Deep. Dan, what are you looking at?
All right. Also coming September 15th, we've got Bots Up. It is self-published. It's a 2 to 5 player card game, family game, kid game, 10 to 40 minutes long. And basically, it's a last man standing card game where you're battling out robots and trying to have the biggest, strongest robot and destroy everybody else. And you do this through cards, having your robot and then enhancing it with better parts. Or attacking your opponents, anything you can do to just cause chaos and be the last man standing. Will, I think you got a chance to take a look at this, too.
Yeah, me and the boys played it. We had mixed reviews, I'll be honest. Two of them loved it. One of them was eliminated pretty early on. And so it is a player elimination game, last man standing.
Poor Xander.
That was actually Lincoln.
Poor Lincoln.
Yeah, we all teamed up on him pretty early in the game. And he was like, all right, I'm done. See you guys. You can play a version of the game. We should have switched. You can play a version of it where you, as soon as one person's robot is destroyed, everybody else just totals the remaining health of their bot points, and whoever has the most points wins. We did play the player elimination version, and yeah, it took a little while because in the game, you know, we kind of teamed up on him. We were like, oh yeah, he's only got 3 health left on his head. Knock it off. but then as the rest of us played, like, it became every man for himself, and in the game you were able to, like, add additional health or repair your pieces or swap them out with other people. So I don't know what the gameplay length on the game is. I think it says 10 to 40 minutes. It could definitely be over in 10, or depending on how your cards come up, it could be a much longer game. The artwork for it was super cool, though. There was lots of fun, like, saw blade arms and pincer graspers and, like, just cool looking stuff when you put all your robot together.
Yeah, it looks pretty neat.
That was fun. Definitely. On that part.
Cool. Kevin, what do you have?
our last game that we're going to be talking about during Kickstarter Conniption is Cascadia. This is a 1-4 player game that takes about 30 to 45 minutes from Flat Out Games, designed by Randy Flynn, and the artist is Beth Sobel. You are trying to create an ecosystem where you are playing terrain and different wildlife tokens in your own sort of personal map area. And on your turn, it's really easy. You're just taking a terrain tile and a token, an animal token, placing it somewhere in your terrain and continually adding to it. And we have a live playthrough that you can already check out on our YouTube channel. And Will and Sarah did a overview video.
I think it was actually Sarah and Chantel. I haven't gotten a chance to play it yet.
Sarah and Chantel did the overview video then. You can check that out on our channel as well.
Yeah, what did you think about it? Because to me, it looked like, from a distance, the game Planet from, I think it's Blue Orange or Habba.
I played Planet.
Yeah, so that one you have like magnetic pieces sticking on there. Was it a similar concept to that?
In some ways,
without
I guess.
Without the magnets,
but obviously. I mean, in Planet, you are passing that around. You don't have your own personal planet, do you?
You do, yeah.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think.
But you're adding those like territory tiles or whatever, terrain tiles, and then there is like a center scoring deck of cards that kind of determines stuff. So
the puzzly nature comes in two ways. I think it's maybe dual layered, because in Planet, all you're doing is putting terrain on it. Whereas in Cascadia, not only are you adding your own terrain tiles and trying to connect the right, you know, water to water, mountain to mountain, things like that, but you're also placing wildlife on top of those terrain. And doesn't actually have to be on the one you just placed. It could be on a different one, which I think adds to the puzzly nature of where do I want to place my wildlife, because there's different scoring opportunities based on the kind of wildlife you're placing in certain ways. So,
interesting.
And I think we actually have an interview with the guys over at Flat Out for Cascadia. So let's welcome them to the house. Hey!
Hey, hey!
Thanks so much for joining us. You guys are the faces behind the publishing title Flat Out Games. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Some of the faces? All of the faces?
We are just some of the faces. So Molly and I are 2/3 of the founding members of Flat Out Games. The third being Robert Melvin, our good friend. And the team behind a lot of our games is what we call the Flat Out Games Collab, which is a kind of project-by-project team that we build each time we're going to publish a game. The game we're working on right now is Cascadia, and the team for that is designer Randy Flynn, the designer of our previous collab game, Calico, which is Kevin Russ, and David Yetzi, who's a game designer also here in Seattle, and he is one of our developers, and Dylan Mangini is our graphic designer, and we are joined by, of course, the very talented Beth Sobel, who did all the illustration for both Calico and now Cascadia.
So love it.
That's the rundown of our team.
That is a great team. Very cool. Excited to hear that. I love the idea that you guys switch it up a little bit. That's very cool.
So we have you guys on the show because we want to talk to you about Cascadia, which, when this podcast launches, is going to be live that week on Kickstarter. Tell us a brief overview of Cascadia.
So Cascadia is a puzzly tiling game for 1-4 players, plays in 30 to 45 minutes. And in Cascadia, you're basically doing one thing on your turn. You are going to be drafting a pair of a tile and a token. And then placing them on your board. So I guess that's two things. So the game is based in the Pacific Northwest, which is where the team is from, and it's very near and dear to our hearts. And in the game, there are 5 types of habitat, and those are like mountains and rivers and wetlands and forests. And then there are 5 types of animals in the game: elk and bears and salmon and hawks and foxes. And what you're doing is you're drafting one tile and one token. So one land, one habitat, and one wildlife. And then you're going to have to place those into your growing map of Cascadia that you're building out throughout the game. And you can place the habitat anywhere on your growing board, but you can only place the animals in places where they are illustrated in the tile that you've just picked up, or a tile that's already on your board. So you're a bit limited in where you can play your animals, but you can play your habitats anywhere. The goal of the game and the way you're going to score is to create the largest contiguous land sections. So the largest number of tiles with that land type on it. And so you want to get the highest score in every possible one. And then each game, there are different wildlife scoring conditions. So while you've got kind of one puzzle of land, you're also building a second puzzle above it of animals. And there are several different ways to score. And you pick one card with a scoring condition on it for each game. So you're getting a lot of variability there. And then at the end of the game, everybody scores up how they did on land and how they did on their animals, and whoever has the highest score wins.
One of the things I loved so much about Calico was just how simple the turn structure was, but how many crazy choices it gave you into the game. I feel like you guys are taking that same basic approach, but then upping it a level, which is very cool. Now, I haven't had a chance to play the game. Kevin has.
I did.
What Kevin, what slash publishers did you guys think, did that evolve out of Calico? Was this a totally separate concept? Where did this come from?
Well, it's pretty interesting because the designer, Randy Flynn, he actually came to us, it was about just over a year ago now, and we had played Calico with him a number of times because he's one of our good friends and designer friends here in the Seattle area. And he said, I've got this new concept for a game and it's kind of inspired by Calico and inspired by Tiny Towns. It's kind of like this mix of the two,
oh,
right?
Nice.
So the Tiny Towns element is this variable scoring that you have for the wildlife cards all the time, right? He was really inspired by that in that game about having a deck of cards to be able to like change up the spatial goals every game. And then the Calico aspect is really just that like kind of really simple drafting of tiles and just trying to do a spatial arrangement of these hex tiles. So it's evolved quite a bit since Randy's original iteration. If you watch the Kickstarter video, you get to see some cool like snapshots of what the prototype used to look like. It used to have a board and all these different things. But you know, the team, you know, especially with like Kevin on board and the fact that, you know, Molly, Rob, and I all worked on Calico, we kind of felt the things that were kind of fun and interesting and that made that a really great gateway game, just like kind of simple and streamlining things down. We all really worked as a team to kind of make this almost like the spiritual successor to that game as almost like an evolution. If you really enjoys Calico, you'll really enjoy the puzzle here in Cascadia, although it's quite different, but you'll feel at home if you enjoyed Calico.
It's good because it busts you out of the board, but then gives you an extra thing that you're constrained by, and that's the wildlife.
Totally, totally agree, Molly and Sean, that it's a really easy game to get into, and it's so mind-bending. Sometimes you're like, oh, I just need this one animal or this certain terrain or things like that. So I love that in games where it's simple, and but it's complex at the same time. Tell me a little bit about the background in the theme itself. Was it always this wildlife theme, or is it something else?
No, if you watch the Kickstarter video, keep an eye out for some gorillas or possibly an alligator. early versions were a little looser on location.
Okay, so it's always been this like animal theme though with
thing.
Okay, interesting.
Terrain.
Yeah.
What's you guys' relationship with Beth Sobel? Now she did the illustrations for Calico. Did you hire again? Do you guys know her? I don't know where she's from. Is that she worked great for one? Let's do it again.
Yeah, Beth's a friend that we met, I guess several years ago now. She's local to Washington State, just like us. So we've seen her at conventions and stuff, and she's a lot of fun. If you ever get a chance to play board games with Beth and her husband Daniel, like they're some of the most fun, nicest people you'll get to meet. So, you know, we kind of had a relationship with Beth, and you know, we've loved her art. You know, since we got into board games. And so with Calico, it was kind of like a dream to get to work with Beth, and she was willing to get on board for that project. And so, you know, we were really thrilled, and we all had a good time doing that game. So, and when the theme kind of came to being specifically about our part of the world, we just thought, you know, this would be a great opportunity for Beth to kind of illustrate some of the things that she's really familiar with and the landscapes and the animals that she knows so well.
So Sean, tell me a little bit more about the Kickstarter campaign itself. What can backers look for, like the different reward levels and things like that?
So the base pledge for Cascadia is going to be the same as we had for Calico. It's just $29 plus shipping. So
wow.
It's going to be a really affordable game. That's what we're really focused on trying to do. And that's a significant discount off of what the retail price of the game will be if we can, you know, manage to fund it and get it into retail someday. In addition to that, we have some really cool backer levels, one of which is the Cascadia Founders Edition. So we had a really limited supply of these for Calico as well. And what's special about that is the prototypes, like the ones that you all have at Tantrum House right now, we're going to be making those available to our backers. So if you become a founder of Cascadia, you get a handmade, individually numbered, autographed prototype from the team. And then you also get a couple of copies of the game when it finally ships sometime next year. As well, that's you'll cool. get some special, you know, little bonuses that we're cooking up, like some postcards with featuring the art from the game and those sorts of things.
For many people, the selling feature of becoming a founder is that pretty much you get that prototype version immediately. So you don't have to wait for the final.
That's a great play. And I always enjoy seeing the progress that games make, as we get to see obviously a lot of prototypes here. And sometimes the difference between a game that we played and enjoyed and had a good time with and that final piece where they hit all those stretch goals and it's just this incredible, you know, final edition, it really is kind of mind-boggling how different the experience can be between those. So that'd be cool to see. I'm sure people will get excited about that. You guys are coming to Kickstarter this week as this podcast drops. Tell us where we can find a little bit more information about you guys, Facebook, social media, all that good stuff.
We are at Flat Out Games on all of the major social medias. And we are also at CascadiaBoardGame.com. And right now that will direct you to the Kickstarter page. We have, of course, flatout.games is our main website. We'll be on Kickstarter from September 15th through October. And yeah, Sean, if you've got other ways you could reach us.
Yeah, we really love interacting, especially with our backers and other folks on social media, on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. So definitely hit us up. And if you have any questions about Cascadia, we're always happy to let folks know more.
Cool. Before we say goodbye, are there any other projects that you can hint at for our listeners? Future stuff happening at Flat Out Games?
Oh, that's a good question.
There's always something on the horizon.
Well, I know, but I was specific. I said stuff that you could hint at, you know.
Sure. Well, good things come in threes.
Mm.
Might be one of the things that we often say.
I like that saying. That sounds really great.
That is our hint. And you can definitely keep a watchful eye out on Flat Out Games, because puzzly tile laying games are our thing. And Cascadia will hopefully not be the last one that you see.
I love it.
Very cool. All right. So you guys' campaign will be launching soon. Very best of luck to you. Assuming, as we should, that you guys will be successful. What is the delivery date that you guys are anticipating?
So right now we are looking at, I think it's an August 2021 delivery date. So we'll try and get it to folks at least by the summer next year so that they can hopefully enjoy Cascadia. And hopefully they won't still be, you know, in lockdown and in their homes. But
they can play it at their favorite cons next year.
That's right. Play it at your favorite convention.
People coming back together. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. Best of luck with your campaign. I know it looked a lot of fun. I can't wait to get to try it. I think Kevin and Melissa and Sarah definitely enjoyed it. If our viewers are interested, listeners are interested in being viewers, they can check out the playthrough on our YouTube channel. And then definitely check out the Cascadia Kickstarter. Probably going live tomorrow morning. Thank you guys so much for being with us. Thanks so much for having us.
Bye.
Very cool hearing the inside scoop on Cascadia. One other thing that I'm excited about this week in preparation for, it's not really preparation for the 24 hour
game. It totally is in preparation for.
It is. We need to recoup. We have decided to make a little, I don't know what we're calling it, Tantrum House retreat.
Yep.
We hang out on Monday nights, pretty regular. But this week we're actually going to make an event of it. And so we're going to be hanging out for I was going to say 3 solid days. It's not totally solid.
Totally
but
2 days.
2 nights and a couple of days-ishes
sure.
Of playing lots of board games. Some of those are going to be the ones that we're getting to the 24-hour game-a-thon. Some of them are going to be games that we just don't get to play a lot. And so I'm pretty excited.
That's what
to,
Will thinks.
I hope it is.
But it's totally going to be the games we need to play.
Kevin can play those in the other room. I want to play some of those great classics that I either A, haven't played in a long time, or that I know, like Jonah and Chantel, haven't experienced and need to. And I think I know Ryan has similar thoughts and desires on that front. What are some of the games that you, like the old classics, that you're planning to bring with you to this event?
Catan, right?
I actually don't own Settlers of Catan.
Jonah was ready.
Just because Jonah's I'm biased it. Against it.
Right.
But I can bring Star Trek Catan for
I
you.
Do like
does anyone have Catan.
Catan
in our group?
I've got it, yeah.
Jonah's got it.
Jonah's got oh,
okay.
all.
Okay, cool.
Right?
Cool.
Or a lot?
So I don't actually own them. My family does.
A family collection, I understand. I
get them.
Could snack them. One of the games that I would that you I don't think you've played that I would totally be up for is Kingsburg. Have you played that yet?
I have not played
oh,
that.
Oh, I love Kingsburg.
Ryan, have you been packing that one?
I have set that one aside.
All right.
Which one? Wait. Are we talking about the original?
Original.
OG? First edition.
OG. With expansions?
With expansions.
Good. That's the only Perfect. Way to play it.
So there obviously needs to be like a practice round if we're keeping score. I can't. Everyone
oh,
said,
oh,
I love that game. Perfect. With the, I'm going to lose.
Well, that's not during the 24-hour, although we should keep score at the cabin just as practice.
Okay. That's practice.
Love it.
Get in the mood.
I love it.
Okay. One of my favorites that I'm going to bring, I don't know if we'll get to play it, is Coal Baron. That's one of my fave worker
I've
placement
never
games.
Played Coal Baron.
Really? Oh, see? Perfect. And should I bring War Chest, Kevin, or should I just leave it here?
I just leave it here.
Bring it.
Bring it.
We'll force him.
We actually have a game called Tellstones, which we can't really talk about yet, from Riot Games, which
Ooh,
we
cool.
can bring and learn. So anyway, that's
yeah,
their
keep
next...
trying to teach me new ones. I want to play old ones.
It's from the company that did Mechs versus Minions.
Ah, okay. So, cool stuff. Yeah. Ryan, what else is on your shelf ready to bring?
Well, Dan told me that I need to bring Thunderstone Quest. So
oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't tried this one out yet.
I'm
all
trying
right.
to consider just how many of these huge boxes I bring. Because
I
have the original Kickstarter, and then they did another just as large box.
Have I played that one?
No.
Ooh.
Which is like all expansion material. And then I think I have even more stuff. I need to organize.
I'm bringing my number one game that I played this year. My favorite game of 2020.
Are you going to tell us what it is?
Yeah, I can tell you.
Tell me.
Takenu from Board and Dice.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't played your favorite game of the whole year?
2020.
All right.
It's almost over.
Oh, that's my new stack.
It might make
you must have been hiding it during quarantine.
I haven't seen
2020.
It.
2020. 2020. It's not over yet.
Not over yet, no.
So it could be beaten out by another game.
Somebody was suggesting, I don't remember who it was, I think it was maybe Amy Eggs, that we should pick our like games of 2020. But these would not be good games, which I thought was a great idea.
Awesome.
All the worst games to go
that
with.
That we played in 2020.
Well, I've had lots of fun. I need to go to bed very soon because we've got a crazy week of stuff lined up. Very much looking forward to the 24-hour.
And he wants to keep watching Cobra Kai.
Oh, yeah. Oh, got to give me some Karate Kid in tonight. It's going to be great.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Wax on, wax off.
Sounds perfect. See you guys next time. Bye. Bye. Sayonara.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.